Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to the SuperView Show's Mixed Bag, coming to you live once again from many caves. As always, I am joined by the panel of panelists right here at the SuperView Show, Bill and Justin. What's going on, gentlemen?
Evening, folks.
What's going on?
Yes, yes. And as the title of our podcast suggests, alludes to whatever, tonight's show is, Bill, what's our show again tonight? I forget.
Okay. You know, first of all, I think we should really, we got to get serious here for a minute. As we know, over the past week, California has been absolutely devastated by the wildfires that have been going on there. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with all the people of California right now. And it's just terrible. The people who lost their homes. It's just awful. So tonight, we have a little fundraiser going. We put the link for the Red Cross in this YouTube video, didn't we, JT?
Yes. If you're watching us live, and even if you don't watch us live too, you could still watch and click the link below to support the Red Cross that is helping out the Wildfires Initiative to stop the wildfires in Los Angeles, California, right now. So you can donate tonight. Go ahead, Bill. Sorry.
Please, anything you have. And I know this is a hard time for a lot of people to donate. We're just getting out of the holidays. And so please, if you have a dollar, donate a dollar. You have $5, donate $5. Donate, please, anything you have. And if we have any viewers who live in the great California area, and if you don't have the resources to donate, volunteer your time, see what you can do, donate blood, volunteer at a shelter for people who've been displaced. Just do anything helps right now. And so tonight's topic, we usually had something else planned tonight, but given the nature of what's going on and what we're going to talk about soon,
yeah,
we just didn't think that topic that we were going to do tonight seemed appropriate, but we're going to do it next week.
Yeah.
Because now I think it's time for us coming together. And as the old saying, what brings people together, Justin?
Music.
Music brings people together. Other things also bring people together, but we won't get on that list. But today we're going to be talking about best benefit concerts.
Concerts that
were used to raise money for a specific cause.
Because let's be honest, it's just a matter of time before one is organized for California.
Yes, that's true. You know, before we go on, are we talking about like actual concerts? Are we just including actual concerts in arenas or telethons too?
I was mostly going for the actual concerts.
Okay, that's fine.
Like I know there are the telethons, like they have the Night of Too Many Stars every year, the Stand Up to Cancer stuff. But I think the concerts are probably the more well-known.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if it's okay with the two fine gentlemen here, I'd like to start, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right.
I want to start with the ones that really started the modern benefit concert.
Okay.
It's called the Concert for Bangladesh.
I was going to bring this up too, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? One, two, three
way.
Right.
For lack of a better word, we all swiped right with each other. AKA, we had a three way tonight, guys. That's kind of crazy. Not gonna lie.
Hey, we should be talking about that. We're trying to raise money for the good people. We love the people. We love the people.
Yeah, we're loving the people a bit too much.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But the Concert for Bangladesh. So this was in 71. I'm correct, right?
Yes.
71.
Yes.
Yep.
The year was 1971. About 8 months prior, The music world saw one of the biggest tragedies, the breakup of the Beatles. And now the quiet Beatles, George Harrison, because if anyone remembers in like the mid to late 60s, he started getting into Eastern mysticism. Mm-hmm. And he got into the whole Hare Krishna thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he made friends with a Indian or Pakistani musician by the name of Ravi Shankar. And around this time, East Pakistan was trying, which was declared Bangladesh.
We lost Bill for a sec. Hold on one sec. Justin, do you have anything else to add for the concert for Bangladesh?
Just adding on to what Bill said, like, this was the first concert of its kind, where the proceeds were actively going to a charity. In this case, I believe the charity was UNICEF.
He's back. And sorry about that.
This was sort of like what to do and what not to do in organizing a benefit concert, because there were some hiccups. The money raised for charity was tied up in escrow for quite a bit. Got tied up in escrow.
What does that mean?
So escrow means that they are in an account in the bank that cannot be released until certain conditions are met.
Okay.
It's a legal term. It's used a lot in like major purchases, like buying a home. So, mine was tied up in escrow for quite a bit before the funds finally got released. And Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but George did try getting all the Beatles together for this, correct?
Yes. Well, he was half successful. He got Ringo.
I wouldn't call that half successful.
What would you call it?
I call that an eighth successful, because he got Ringo.
Well, no, you got half. Okay, so you got Ringo. He did ask Paul and John. Paul McCartney declined, mainly because this was, again, 8 months after the breakup of the Beatles. And
So the wound was still fresh.
And he thought it would just be awkward, like, you know, seeing your ex after you break up.
Yeah.
And he did invite John, and John actually did agree to come, but there was one problem. George said, John, you could come, but guess who wasn't invited?
Yoko.
Yoko was not invited, and John agreed. And then when they found out, and then when Yoko found out that he didn't want, that George didn't want Yoko there, John and Yoko got into a big fight, and John literally stormed off and left the country.
Wow.
That happened.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
That happened. And there were some things that were going, and there were some things that were, you know, and I think this was a big change for George, because what was George known as?
The quiet one.
He was known as the quiet Beatle. It was usually John or Paul who usually took charge. And I think for here at George Harrison, I think why this was such a big change is he had to be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He had to lead the band. He had to put this all together. Like, because, again, okay, let's just let John and Paul handle everything. No, he's like, no, I got to handle all this now. And he had a great lineup. Billy Preston, Levon Helms, Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton, and got Bob Dylan out of hiding, too.
Yeah, Bob Dylan hadn't had a show in 5 years at that point.
Yeah, well, George Harrison and Bob Dylan were actually very good friends. Because, fun fact, still, fun fact, a year when they were having a tribute concert for George Harrison.
Which we'll get to soon.
What, was that really a benefit concert, though?
The proceeds went to charity.
Okay, we'll talk about it. But anyway, the concert for George, which they had on November 29th, 2002, which was the 1 year anniversary of George Harrison's death, Bob Dylan unfortunately couldn't make it. He was invited, but he couldn't make it. So,
fellow Wilbury.
At the, I want to say he was at, it was actually at the Garden. He actually, as tribute to George, he performed something.
Aw.
He performed the song. He goes, they're having a benefit for his concert in a week, but unfortunately I can't go. So you know what, George? This is for you, my friend. But yeah, Bob Dylan came out of hiding. Eric Clapton, he was going through heroin withdrawal at this time.
Yeah, and this is right after the Layla single came, or right around the time of Layla, for those who keep back at home. Keep back at home.
So it's a good thing Paul John didn't come, because then George would be dealing with two awkward situations.
Yep. And probably endless ribbing from John over the whole thing.
But you know what? I got to commend George that him and Eric Clapton still remain good friends.
Yeah.
And true.
Lesser men would go no contact.
And in an interview, he goes, oh, what is your relationship with Eric? He goes, oh, we shared the same wife. But anyway.
Laugh about it.
But this was a show, and, you know, the set list, My Sweet Lord, Bob Dylan did Blown in the Wind, and there was a song called, that George Harrison called, simply wrote, simply called Bangladesh. About how his friend came to him with sadness in his eye, meaning Ravi Shankar.
Mm-hmm.
And also an interesting story at the beginning of the show, because there was actually two shows. There was a there was an afternoon show and an evening show.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the show, Ravi Shankar and one of his friends were playing sitar music. Yep. And George asked the crowd, please be quiet, please be respectful, because that's a cultural thing. But the audience was really being loud during it. But Ravi Shankar goes, we glad you enjoy it. But
no, you know what it was? He said, we glad you enjoyed the warm-up. I hope you enjoy the real thing. Because I was actually listening to it last night.
Oh, nice.
Ravi Shankar was... because him and George were very close. But, and this was just the show raised $250,000.
Back then, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which is adjusted for today, that's like $2 million.
That's nothing to scoff at.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
Looking at between 1971 and 1985, from all like the record sales and everything, they raised like $12 million. That is really nothing to scoff at, is it, Justin?
Nope.
That's a really good goal right there.
So this was George Harrison's, he was coming out of being the Quiet Beatle, you know?
Yeah.
He was coming out of being the Quiet Beatle. And he's like, you know, you know what? He's like, I can be the leader now. I can do this. And this is considered the first benefit concert.
Mm-hmm.
New York City, Madison Square Garden.
Before Live Aid, and which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
This was the first real benefit concert. Yeah. All right. Anything else on a concert for Bangladesh?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Who wants to go next?
Well, who wants to go next? Justin, go ahead.
I think it's only fair to go from one benefit concert organized by a Beatle to another benefit concert organized by a Beatle.
Which is
the year was 2001.
Oh, I had this on my list too. God, we think alike tonight.
Right? I mean, let's be perfectly honest. Like, the big ones we probably all had in mind.
Yes.
So the year was 2001. It was just after the towers fell, and Paul McCartney organized this huge benefit concert in New York to help the relief efforts, because 9/11 was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, national tragedy to happen in the continental United States.
It was.
So, you know, we just had Paul, he just got so many musicians, filmmakers, comedians, just packed the set list with anyone who's anyone, especially the New Yorkers. People from New York, New Jersey, who were especially affected. You had filmmakers such as Marty Scorsese screening their short films centered around New York. Artists like David Bowie,
Melissa Etheridge, Eric Clapton, Goo Goo Dolls, Mick Jagger, John, Bon Jovi.
I just had a major brain fart.
Five for Fighting, for those of you who remember them. Buddy Guy, Jay-Z, Billy Joel, Kid Rock, McCartney himself, John Mellencamp, Keith Richards, Adam Sandler, James Taylor, The Who. That's a pretty
Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child. That's a pretty big lineup right there.
Yeah.
Huge.
It was massive. You know, Rudy Giuliani, who was mayor at the time, he was there. He gave a big speech. And it really showed New York resilience, which is a theme when it comes to tragedies in New York.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's also a theme with it's a theme with benefit concerts in New York, because let's be honest, most of them happen in New York.
Yeah. I actually have this whole concert on DVD.
Oh, nice.
All nice. 5 hours of it.
Wow.
Yeah, this was a long concert.
So, JT, you had anything to say before I talk about this? I got some things I'd like to say.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Like, this concert was... Justin, have you ever seen the concert? Or?
Yeah, I've seen the concert.
Let's wrap up. JT, but... have you ever seen the concert?
I actually have not. But I've seen clips of certain artists, but that's about it.
I want to rack off some great moments from this show, if you guys don't mind. And Justin, if you... if you want to chime in too.
I'll chime in if I notice any notable omissions.
Well, because, you know, of course, the opening with Justin's boy, David Bowie, this very ominous performance of America by Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
And then he played Heroes.
My favorite Bowie song.
One of my favorites, too, which was very appropriate. Then you had Billy Crystal hosted it, and I think he just did a great job.
I mean, the Billy Crystal's the host who end all hosts.
I remember he goes, we can make fun of the Taliban. Don't they look like ZZ Top? And
God.
And then I remember Bon Jovi's performance. They did Living on a Prayer and Wanted Dead or Alive acoustic.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then wow. They did It's My Life and dedicated it to all the first responders. And I remember during the song, Bon Jovi's wearing a cowboy hat. He took his hat off and gave it to, I want to say it was a cop. And then the cop gave him his cop hat and he just threw it on.
Nice.
And it was just so, the show was just so, and, you know, and I think another one was Billy Joel. He only did two songs. He did Miami 2017. I've Seen the Lights Go Down on Broadway. And after the song, he said, thank you. You know, I wrote that song 25 years ago. I wrote it as a science fiction song. Never thought it was going to happen. Guess what? Unlike the end of that song, we ain't going anywhere. And then he played New York State of Mind, which became the unofficial, like, anthem.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the original New York Strong. And Justin or JT, did you see The Who's performance?
I actually have not seen their performance personally, but Justin, have you?
It's been like 15 years since I've watched it.
They actually said yes. The moment it was announced, they were the very first group to say yes.
Really? Okay.
And like they did all the songs and they had like three British flags on the stage, but after like each song, they turned into American flags.
Nice.
And when they got to the last British flag and when it turned into an American flag, the crowd went nuts. And but I think this is a moment that everyone thinks of right now. I don't know if you remember this one, Justin, because you said it's been a while. When they had like various speakers on, they had New York City fireman Mike Moran on, and I think he said what everyone was thinking. And that moment, and he was saying, you know, I just want to say to the members of the FDNY football team that we lost, in the spirit of the Irish people, I want to say this. Osama bin Laden, you can kiss my Irish ass. And the whole crowd, USA, USA, USA. And the whole place just went nuts. And Mick Jagger, he said in between songs, he's like, if there's anything that comes out of this, it's one thing. You don't fuck with New York, right?
Nope, nope.
And yeah, wow, this was just this show, again, I don't know how much of it you remember, Justin, but it was just such a mix of emotions.
Yeah.
And I do remember this one other thing before. Five for Fighting.
Yep.
They played the song Superman. He played the song Superman because they told the story beforehand that there was this one fireman. I get choked up listening to this. He said, and Hillary Swank told the story and said, you know, that this fireman, he's standing on stage with his son. He was on his way home from a memorial service for his colleagues who were killed in the attack.
Mm.
And he turned on the song, and the song Superman by Five for Fighting came on the radio. And he said the song hit home, and he wrote to Five for Fighting. He said, "Hey, listen, my colleagues, they were supermen. So if you're on tour, can you please dedicate this song to my colleagues?" And not only did he do it on tour, he came to the show, and Hillary Swank said, "You made this happen. Introduce him." And he said, "In memory of all my friends and colleagues who we lost, here is Superman, Five for Fighting." And you know what the thing is? I watched on like the 100 Greatest Moments of Madison Square Garden where this was number 3.
Okay.
Because right after 9/11, they said, okay, well, what are we going to do? Say, you know what? Let's do what New York would do. Let's freaking rock. And you know what it was? A couple things here. If you watch, and they pointed this out in the 100 Greatest Moments of Madison Square Garden, people, if everyone's been to like a wake or a funeral, you get those cards with the picture on it.
Yeah.
He said people were holding up cards of their friends and family members who they lost, and they were singing and dancing. I think this was a moment that New York needed.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
This was what New York needed. While America Tribute to Heroes was great and everything, it was a telethon that was held like right after the attack, but that was more somber. This is what New York, because at this time, I think it was, you know what? It's okay to have fun. It's okay. It's okay to enjoy music. And that show basically showed the terrorists, we're not scared. And those towers can be rebuilt. The people we lost can't be replaced, but you cannot break our spirit. No. And you know what? I think the message of that was, you know what? We're going to be okay. It's going to be a long road, but we're going to be okay. And I just want to say this. I don't usually talk on current events here, but how sad is it, guys, that it takes a tragedy for us to actually freaking care about other people? Can we all just admit that?
Very sad.
Yes.
Very, very sad.
And I was hearing that there were people like, tying into the wildfires, that there were people going like, "Well, that's what happens when you have a woke governor," and just making fun of California's so woke, they get what they deserve. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
People are dying.
You need to examine this thing called a conscience, which. Oh, God, I hate these people who go on Twitter and say these stupid, dumbass things.
It's ridiculous.
And you know what? And comparing it to this, to 9/11, because you know why? And listen, it is a tragedy that no one should have to endure. Nearly 3,000 people died that day. But you know what? September 12th, it didn't matter what our gender was, what our race was, what our religion was.
Mm.
Well, I don't want to totally whitewash that. There was some Islamophobia after. There was Islamophobia after.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to totally whitewash it.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter whether the year's previous election, whether we voted for Bush or Gore, didn't matter whether we were Republicans or Democrats or straight or gay. The next day, September 12th, we were all Americans. It didn't matter. And, you know, it's sad knowing that 24 years later, I think even after a national tragedy, we're never going to have that type of unity again. Am I right or am I wrong, guys?
And that's the saddest thing.
We're never going to have that type of unity we did after 9/11. And I'm not saying, I'm not praising that day. Don't get my words twisted. I'm just saying.
I know. But it's very sad that
because nowadays when a tragedy happens, people just find people to blame and they scream at each other.
Yep.
It's unfortunate.
And now, but when you look back at the concert for New York City, again, to many people from a political standpoint. It didn't matter whether you voted for Bush or Gore last election. We were all here. We were all trying to just trying to heal from this terrible tragedy.
Agreed.
And you know what? I think that's a lesson we need to learn today.
Yeah.
I agree.
And to you people who are mocking the people who lost their homes, oh boy.
Imagine it was vice versa. Imagine if you lost, I'm not saying, you know, imagine whoever, imagine if the people who were making fun of the Californians saying, oh, you lost your home. Let's say you lost your home and California is making fun of you.
Oh, yeah. I would still call BS on that.
Still, but it's just, you know, put yourself in their shoes for a sec. They have no home. They have nowhere to go. Their city is on fire.
There's been incidences like in Texas where like hurricanes or stuff has happened or whatever. And then people are going like, well, that's what you get for don't believing in climate change. I'm like, no, these are people. Regardless of what happened, put your ideology aside. These are freaking human beings.
And they have nowhere to go and they have nothing to do.
So listen, to the people who are making fun of those in California, stop. These are people. Mm-hmm. To those who are making fun of Texas who lost their homes, stop. These are people. And again, it is so sad that a national tragedy has to get us to actually care about each other. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Like, we should always care about each other.
We're all the same people.
Guys, sorry, I got on my soapbox there.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. It's just, you don't have to. You're good. No, but this is a great pick. I actually have to see this at some point. So
I have it on DVD if you want to borrow it.
I'll borrow it one day.
Okay. You got to fill out about 52 forms. Justin, he's right about 52 forms you got to fill out, right?
Give or take.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right. So let's see. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we're going to stick with New York for a second because, I mean, it wasn't necessarily the September 11th attacks of 2001. But back in, I remember this is one of my first ever experiences either with a disaster concert for relief or whatever. But Hurricane Sandy, the 12-12-12 show.
Yeah.
And that was on December 12th, 2012. The concert that helped out the 12-12-12 Sandy relief for New York City. That was a really big lineup, actually, for that show, the 12-12-12 show. Because for those, just to set the context really quick. New York City was going under, had hurricane watch because of Hurricane Sandy. So on December 12th, 2012 show, they actually had a bunch of a really great lineup of artists come in and support the and raise money across the world to help out New York City recover from this. And again, regardless how you feel about New York City or whatever, or how you feel about whatever, this is one of my first exposures to that. And it was a great night. You had Bon Jovi, Eric Clapton, you had Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic with Paul McCartney doing like a Nirvana reunion kind of thing at one point. You had Billy Joel coming out of like a semi-retirement at the time. You had Alicia Keys, you had Chris Martin of Coldplay, you had the Rolling Stones, you had Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. This time, not he was not at the 2001 one, but he was at 12-12-12. Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, Kanye West, unfortunately, but he's still at the time he was actually sane. The Who and Paul McCartney on the same stage, and I remember saying my dad was like, maybe I should go to this, and I was like, maybe you should, you never know, and it was. I live broadcast on all these TV shows. Guests were coming in and out of like every other show. It's like John Bon Jovi was a guest star with Bruce Springsteen, said vice versa. And like Paul McCartney was with Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic. Chris Martin was with Michael Stipe, actually, from REM. I don't know if you guys remember that. But this was a great, great, great show that benefited Sandy Relief for the hurricane that hit the Northeast hurricane that year. And I actually remember sitting in my living room with my parents watching the show live. And it was like, wow, we have all these bands in one room in Madison Square Garden, the Holy Cathedral of Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
just benefiting people in need in the New York metropolitan area that were hit hard by the hurricane. And it just, it really shows you how, again, regardless of what you're, I'm going to echo Bill just for a second, but if you're Democrat, if you're Republican, if you're gay, you're straight, doesn't matter if you're homophobic, not homophobic, whatever. People are people. And if you come together for good if you really try to. It just takes a little. I am of the opinion that there's a little good in everyone. Some people choose to show it. Some people choose to not show it. But I think there's enough good in everyone to prompt doing good in the world, regardless if you're a nice person, a bad person. You have that ability to do that. And the shows we're talking about tonight are definitely a reconciliation of that. I would say so. So that's me. That's just me, my mini soapbox for a second. But yeah, great. The 12-12-12 show was great. Bill, did you watch this live when it was on TV or no?
I did, actually. I remember, I don't think I watched the whole thing, though.
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
Because I had to get up and... I think I had finals the next day, so yep. I didn't want to stay up too late.
Right.
That was very vivid in my mind. It was during finals week, and we were technically, it was quiet hours all week. So I had to keep it down.
If anyone has not taken a college final exam, finals week is basically hell on earth. Am I right, Justin?
Yep.
It is basically... It doesn't even matter if you did anything or not. You are going through hell that week. Yeah. And caffeine is your best friend.
I really wish they'd release a live album of this. I don't know if they ever did, but...
No, but I remember Jon Bon Jovi performing with Bruce Springsteen. I remember the Nirvana reunion.
Yep.
With a new original song with Paul McCartney.
Was it Cut Me Some Slack? That's right.
Courtney Love was not happy about that.
Oh, cut them some slack.
Exactly.
Okay, so you got that and Roger Waters' set was pretty good. I remember.
Yeah,
him and Eddie Vedder did Comfortably Numb.
How was Kanye West? Because he's him and Alicia Keys are kind of like the oddball out.
He did like a medley, I think.
And it was okay. 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's kind of crazy.
And you're wrong. He wasn't still sane. He was in a weird middle path. Justin, is that a good way to put it?
This was the post Beyonce had the best video of all time, Kanye.
Everything else, Kanye.
Then never mind. Then he.
This is the pre
crazy Kanye.
Donald Trump endorsement.
This was before he already went crazy, but this was before he took the last train to Insanity Town. Justin, is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, basically, this was after he made the George Bush doesn't care about black people comment. This was after the Beyonce had the best video of all time comment. This was before he almost stormed the Grammy stage to complain about Beck.
And he later did complain about Beck on Twitter.
Yep.
And you know what? Here's the thing. If you're going to complain about someone, say it to their face. Don't hide on Twitter.
Well. He did that with Taylor.
Oh, okay. True.
Taylor, I'm going to let you finish.
Oh, my God.
But can we all just think, just for a quick second, do you think, like, Jay-Z, when he sees all that, like the Taylor Swift and the Beck thing, brings up Beyonce, is Jay-Z sitting there thinking, is Kanye obsessed with my wife?
I think we talked about this at 1.2 a while ago.
And if I'm Jay-Z, dude, stop it right now.
Maybe that's what pushed him to Becky with the good hair.
Ooh. But
I also remember Billy Crystal hosted again. He goes, you know, the last time I was here, it was 9/11 and Rudy Giuliani was going after terrorists. This time it was this time, Mayor Bloomberg is going after 16-ounce sodas.
Yeah.
And then Mick Jagger, again, having one of the most memorable lines of the night, going, you know, next time it rains in London, you should come help us out.
Leave it to the Rolling Stones to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and they're one of the best bands of all time, too. So don't ever doubt that. Paul
McCartney with the surviving members of Nirvana. I didn't know I was in the middle of a Nirvana reunion.
That's funny. And that's not fair, guys. Kurt Cobain was a left-handed guitarist, and Paul McCartney's a left-handed guitarist, too.
Really?
You ever notice that?
No, I haven't.
Paul McCartney's a left-handed guitarist and bassist. Kurt Cobain was the same way. He was a left-handed guitarist.
It really makes you think, though, why Paul McCartney and Dave Grohl are such good friends. And you know what that is?
What?
They both have the widows of their fallen bandmates bother them.
That's true. Didn't think about that.
But, yeah, 12 of 12. I do remember this.
Great show. I remember...
The set was great.
Yeah, it was. It was just, like, what, three or four songs? I forget.
Like five songs, and they did Bellboy from Quadrophenia, and they got archive footage of
Keith Moon
singing.
Wow, that's actually pretty cool.
And I don't want, but
I like when
this was a good show.
I like when people do stuff like this, you know, it's always, regardless if it's for a charity, I like when like superstar acts come together. So. But that was my pick, the 12-12-12 show from 2012.
Awesome.
What other? Should we go? Should we just jump to the big one now? Which was
let's just do the big one.
I wanted to talk about.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. And this was a benefit concert that took place on April 20th, 1992. And it was the Freddie Mercury tribute concert for AIDS awareness.
I got stuff to say about this too, but go on.
And all the profits from the concert were used to launch the Mercury Phoenix Trust for AIDS research. And this was actually not only the band's first appearance since Freddie Mercury's death a year ago, well, less than a year ago. Oh, you know what I mean.
At the time.
In 91.
This was actually the last appearance of Brian May, Roger Taylor, and John Deacon. Before John Deacon left the band.
Because John Deacon retired, he was very, very emotionally torn. He said, "I can't do this anymore."
Yeah,
was he that close to Freddie?
He was probably, out of all the four members of Queen, he was probably the closest to him, and he was just shaken by his death. So,
Deaky, as he called him, but it was a tribute to. But it was a tribute to Freddie Mercury. You had the first set was people without Queen, but bands who were inspired by Queen.
Mm-hmm.
You had Metallica played Enter Sandman, Sad But True, Nothing Else Matters. Extreme played.
Wow. I forgot about that.
Then you had Def Leppard.
They did
Animal.
Couple other songs, yeah.
Let's Get Rocked, Now I'm Here. Bob Geldof. Spinal Tap. U2.
Yep. U2, I forgot they performed.
Mango Grove. Guns N' Roses. And a special speech from Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
And then when the Queen came on, you had Roger Daltrey did a tribute, Joe Elliott.
Slash,
Paul Young, David Bowie.
George Michael, you forgot about him too.
Yeah, I was getting to him.
Oh, sorry.
George Michael did 39, These Are the Days of Our Lives, and Somebody to Love. And I think some of the things that you know, someone who was very close to Freddie, Elton John.
All right.
Because this was around the time, for those of you who don't know, Elton John was
finally starting to get his life back together.
Like, I'm not saying, I don't want to say this because I know he's not really religious, but he was having his come to Jesus moment.
He was having his Robert Downey Jr. cheeseburger moment.
Yeah. And by come to Jesus, it does not necessarily mean religious. It means,
right,
you're coming to your senses. And yeah. Justin, for those of you who, for all two of you who don't know the Robert Downey Jr. cheeseburger story, please explain.
Okay, so back when Robert Downey Jr. was in rock bottom during his drug issues, he was having a cheeseburger, and I guess it just tasted really, really bad. And I guess he just had like this premonition that if he doesn't get his shit together, he is gonna die. And just threw his stash of heroin into the river.
Into the river.
Never looked back.
Never looked back indeed. So anyway, because Elton John at this moment, because it wasn't only just Freddie Mercury, you know, about this, he started the Elton John AIDS Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And he, because it wasn't just Freddie, he was also friends with a young man by the name of Ryan White,
mm-hmm,
who was a teenager who contacted AIDS due to his hemophilia. And he wasn't allowed to go to school. It's a whole thing. Go look it up.
Yeah.
And I think that was the beginning of his moment, because when Ryan White died, he was at his funeral. He actually sang at his funeral. And he said, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, here's a boy who never complained. And while he was going through the worst thing, and here I am destroying my body, and I'm not even enjoying it. He said, I looked at him in the casket, and I saw myself. And then later on, with the next year with Freddie, because him and Freddie were very close, so I think that's what dragged him to say, okay, you know what, I got to get clean. I got to fix this. And yeah. And Freddie, and the two things with Elton John was, one, him and Axl Rose, you all know I'm not the biggest fan of Guns N' Roses, but they did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. That's probably the only thing I know about this concert is their performance of Bohemian Rhapsody.
And then he did The Show Must Go On, which was the last big song from Queen. And, you know, I think that's a very inspirational song once you think about it, because at the end of the day, you could be having the worst day of your life, but you have responsibilities to attend to or
mm-hmm,
whatever. And at the end of the day, okay, you might be having a shitty life, but at the end of the day, the show
must go on.
Show must go on. I love that line. Inside my heart is aching. Inside my heart is breaking. My makeup may be fading, but my smile still stays on. And then Axl Rose does We Will Rock You, and the show ends with We Are the Champion, sung by Freddie's favorite singer, Liza Minnelli. No, he really loved Liza.
Wow.
And this was the show that started the Mercury Phoenix Trust for AIDS research and awareness.
Because let's not forget, guys, and just for those, we went out alive when Freddie Mercury was alive. But I don't want to make this a whole thing, but if you had AIDS back then, if you had HIV or AIDS, you're pretty much dead.
You were a walking corpse, essentially.
You were ready to die at any given point. You just were. And that's how it was. Until, like, at least nowadays, they can treat it for long-term or short-term. I don't know the specifics of it.
Oh, pretty long-term, as long as it stays, like, in HIV.
Yeah, as long as
it's... Magic Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
He got diagnosed in 91, I think.
Wow.
30-plus years later.
And he's still kicking. I want to say, I think he's undetectable. He's undetectable at this point.
That's great.
Yeah.
Or Charlie Sheen. Remember, he announced that he was HIV positive, but he's undetectable.
Well, I have issues with Charlie Sheen. And
everyone has issues with Charlie Sheen.
2.5 men.
But
anyways, this is a good pick, Dom. I forgot about this one, actually.
And, yeah, but you know what? I think just all the progress we made in AIDS research over the last 30 years, it's astonishing.
Yeah. You know? Took a lot of effort to do so.
Because back in, like, the 80s and 90s, you got it. You were screwed.
Yeah.
Like, that was a death sentence. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you got AIDS in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, that was a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You're screwed. But, yeah, but I would say this show, this concert really started raising money, was one of the first ones to start raising money for AIDS awareness.
Yeah, no, it definitely, it was a lot of firsts for this one, for this kind of health-inspired field. Like, more than just natural disasters, like, for health reasons, this, I guarantee you this probably brought up, like, AIDS awareness too, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So... I'm glad you brought it up.
All right. So ready to talk about it.
Are we at the grand finale already?
I think it's the big enchilada.
The big one, the prime rib.
Live Aid 1985.
Live Aid. Holy shit, 1985.
This show's going to be 40 years old this year.
That's frightening, but go on.
Viewed by nearly 2 billion people worldwide.
Billion. You heard that correctly. So like
with a B.
Like two, how many people in
that's
the world?
That's a third of the world.
So literally about a third of the planet was watching this show live on from Wembley Stadium in England. And was it the JFK Stadium in Philadelphia?
Yep.
The United States? Yeah. And they raised a lot.
$127 million raised.
To fight, was it Ethiopian hunger, right?
Hunger. Hunger in Africa.
Great job.
And the show went on for 16 hours.
And Bill, do you have the DVD?
I do.
Are we surprised? No, we're not.
And why are you okay? You know what? I gotta tell you all something. There was a time in my life I had an issue where I was obsessively buying concert DVDs.
It's okay, we were all there once.
All right. But I have now kicked the habit. Justin's gonna say something snarky, aren't you?
I was thinking of something.
Oh, okay. I'm very disappointed that you didn't have something on the fly, Justin. I'm very disappointed in you.
Fine. You moved on to show tune vinyls.
Oh, boy.
That's actually not true. That's fake news.
Really? That's what I read on Breitbart? I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, like I also read online that you were replaced by an alien 10 years ago.
Tweeted that Elon Musk.
Yes,
exactly. But anyway. So no, but Live Aid, 40 years ago later this year. 40 years ago later this year.
Jesus.
That's insane. That's insane.
But like I said, I have the DVD. Hey, guys.
You know what? Maybe we should do a viewing party of that for the 40th anniversary.
I like that idea.
16 hours.
You want to bring it up? We can do parts of it. We can do like 2 or 3 hours here and there.
We'll think about it.
When was it? July? What was it? It was July 13th. That's a Sunday this year. Why not?
Clear your calendars, folks. We got 16 hours to kill.
We're going to live stream here in the J Cave.
But you know what? And they straight up tell you in the beginning to kick off the 16 hours of Live Aid. You know, at least they're honest with us. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
But the memorable moments here are just too many to count. Am I right?
I think there's two very, there's obviously there's Queen, but there's two. Queen was like out of the, I think, how do I explain this? There was two extremely powerful ones. I mean, Queen obviously was the one that everyone remembers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously the biggest moment. Well, I would argue Queen's performance at Live Aid is one of the best performances ever that has ever happened on stage ever in the top 10. I have no doubt about that. What I was going to say though was, what do you call it? Aside from Freddie Mercury and Queen killing it in Live Aid, I think the other big one that I think it's overlooked just a little bit is U2. Their performance.
I was thinking about U2. Yeah,
like Bono jumped into the. I mean, for those of you who have never seen the clip on YouTube, check it out. But like Bono jumped into the crowd during a song called "Bad," which if you never heard "Bad," get on it. But "Bad" was performed at Live Aid, and he jumped into the crowd and just started dancing with this woman in the crowd. And actually, it's funny. 30 years later at the Joshua Tree tour, she was at the opening night and she actually got to meet up with him during that show, which is kind of cool. But yeah, no, Bono, U2, Queen is obviously Queen. Everyone talks about the Queen performance. I feel like U2's performance kind of gets underlooked a little bit because it was that like intense of a performance too by them too. When Jack Nicholson comes out, it's like, you know, hey, I like to introduce a band that has no problem saying what they believe in, blah, 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 blah. You know, U2, whatever, right? And regardless of how you feel about U2 as a band, I mean, their performance at Live Aid was still kind of like unmatched and unparalleled. So,
yeah.
Here's a thing.
Yeah.
Phil Collins.
Right.
Played in both London and Philadelphia.
That's a long flight.
He played both in the same day. And you know who he actually played with in London?
Zeppelin.
He played with Sting.
Oh.
Because Sting, well, the Police were no longer a band by then, so.
Yeah, he played, first Sting played Roxanne. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out and goes, okay. At first, okay, Phil will be on in a second, but I'm just going to play one song and plays Roxanne. Goes, okay, now Phil Collins. And Phil Collins comes out and plays Against All Odds, and then him and Sting did Every Breath You Take.
Nice.
And then later on, Sting actually played with Dire Straits.
Nice.
And then Phil just went, okay, gotta go, and then flew to Philadelphia.
That's insane.
And he actually drummed for Led Zeppelin.
There we go.
At the show, because this was after John Bonham died.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, how is Led Zeppelin going to reform? I don't know.
And Led Zeppelin, because they were supposed to play in Philadelphia, but they canceled the tour due to Robert Plant's son's death.
Oh.
Yikes.
That's what you know that song, Justin, the All of My Love, that song?
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's about a son.
Oh.
You know,
yeah, Paul everyone McCartney thinks it's a love cool. song. Everyone thinks it's a love song, but it's actually about his son who passed away.
Right.
And he was only like 5 too. So anyway,
McCartney performed at Live Aid too.
Yeah, he, in a second, but
yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
But with Led Zeppelin though, they were not satisfied with their performance, so that's why it actually.
I've heard about this, that the instruments were out of tune. Robert Plant's voice wasn't there. Yeah,
it actually was not in the DVD. It actually was not in the DVD.
Yeah.
And, but you can find it on YouTube, though. But, and also, you brought up McCartney. JT, here's something interesting. Did you know, if you've seen his performance, he performed Let It Be, the second to last song.
Yeah.
Originally, the mic wasn't working. Well, there was something up with the mic. They didn't fix it till like the start of the final verse.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
But you know what? The crowd, they were still singing along because I'm sure everyone in that arena knew.
Oh, of course.
The words. And like when the DVD released, Paul actually re-recorded.
Oh, wow.
The more you know.
Yeah. Okay, we got to talk about what everybody talks about in live. We have to. We absolutely have to. If we don't talk about it, we're going to get banned in all 50 states.
No, well, I wouldn't go that far, but...
Including Nevada. You know how hard it is to get banned from Nevada?
I've actively tried. It's hard.
It is really hard to get banned in the state of Nevada.
They just give you free tickets to Vegas.
Which isn't a bad deal. But anyway, we got to talk about Queen at Live Aid.
What can you say that hasn't been said? It's the most amazing performance ever.
It's in the top 10.
And this wasn't
in the top 5.
And this was Queen's comeback performance.
Yeah.
And yeah. No Bohemian Rhapsody. Freddie didn't have AIDS at Live Aid, you idiots.
Yeah, that was just for the movie.
Yeah, that was not...
Maybe HIV positive, but it wasn't AIDS yet.
But you know...
And he didn't know.
And you know what... And you know what was the... But I'm surprised they didn't do this story in Bohemian Rhapsody because this was actually the true story, and I actually think it was pretty interesting. Okay, around this time, South Africa was practicing apartheid.
Yeah.
Similar to the Jim Crow laws in the United States from the 1870s up until like the 1950s or 60s.
Yes.
And a lot of athletes at the time, a lot of music artists boycotting South Africa to protest apartheid.
Yeah.
And Queen actually played in South Africa. So they got a lot of criticism for that.
Yeah.
They got a lot of criticism for that. And this opens up to an interesting conversation I'll get to in a second. And, you know, they asked Brian May, he goes, well, why'd you guys do that? He goes, well, we didn't care about politics. We just went where our fans are.
That was a good answer.
But Queen got a lot of flack for playing in South Africa.
Yeah.
And Live Aid was their big comeback moment.
It also showed how they're one of the tightest bands in the world at the time, too. You don't want to talk about musicianship? They were one of the tightest ones.
Yeah. Another lie from Bohemian Rhapsody. Queen didn't break up at the time of Live Aid. These people did their freaking research.
They went on, I think they went on a hiatus to go do like a couple solo projects, but that's about it.
The solo projects was right, though.
They didn't break up, though.
No, yeah. They weren't broken up, no.
And I saw a documentary at this. They didn't say Queen was irrelevant at the time. They said, you know, they weren't the big stars they were previously, but they were still fun to watch.
Right.
But what do you think about that statement, though, that Brian May said, because, listen, we didn't care about politics. We just went with our fans all were. Do you think, like, that was – do you guys think them playing in South Africa was, like, a big – you guys shouldn't have done that, or hey, they were just going where the fans were.
Oh no, it's harder to say today because today that wouldn't happen.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be like someone playing Russia in today's climate. It's
or like playing in Ukraine or Israel
or but
Palestine. Same thing.
I look at Roger Waters. Every time a band thinks about playing Israel, he comes out and blasts them.
Yeah.
But you know what I think it is, though? It's like,
what's that?
I understand where Brian May was coming from. He's like, listen, we didn't care about the politics. We just, like, listen. Just because you play in a country doesn't mean you support the country's agenda.
Right.
Yeah, you're just there. It's like here in the U.S., if a certain band leans a certain way and they play in a state that opposes their viewpoints, it doesn't matter. Like a band or an artist has tour dates, they're gonna play no matter what.
Well, because there was a time like 2015, 2016 where certain artists, I think even Bruce was doing this, they weren't playing, I want to say, in either North Carolina or Mississippi because of the bathroom bills or the anti-LGBTQ bills.
There was one
I think Brian May said he wasn't gonna play in Mississippi, but he didn't really help his case when he played in Egypt, in which, you know. I'm sorry, bro. I know he's your boy, JT, but yeah, Brian, you're not really helping your case here.
Well, no, Brian
Consistency
Adams
is key.
What was that?
You mean Brian Adams, not Brian May.
Brian Adams, yeah. Justin, what were you saying?
Consistency is key.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to play in this state because of the bathroom bills, but yet you're playing in a country in which they, you know,
they're much more oppressive.
Yeah, but you're sending a mixed message here. But yeah, but anyway, Queen Live 8, the performance, that this was the performance that I think shook the world. It really was.
Yeah.
You go back and watch it, it's insane.
And how much money did they raise?
Like $127 million. In 85.
I wonder if Bob Geldof gets the same flack for Live Aid that he did for Do They Know It's Christmas?
Well, benefits concerts in general do get some flack because of some people just don't consider it the proper way to raise money. And it trivializes the idea of what you're raising money for. But like what you said earlier, it's okay to have fun. Like, you can have fun and raise money for a good cause while doing it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely agree. But you said it trivializes the issue. And what did you mean by that, Justin?
Well, it's just something that I read on the internet. Something about Geldofism, like creating a benefit concert to raise money for a tragic event. Like, it's even what I said earlier about the wildfires. Like, a benefit concert for its inevitable. Like, we're just at the point that we're expecting a benefit concert to be held.
To help rebuild Los Angeles.
But I actually think, and I hate to say it this way, if it does happen, there might be some people who might just say screw it, because they'll, because you know how California, especially LA, has this reputation to some people.
Yes.
You know, there were celebrities who lost their home, and which is horrible. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
it's horrible. It's sad.
But there are also people going, yeah, but what about normal folks who just lost their home?
Right.
And I can kind of get that argument. Like, yeah, you know, people make these big stories about, I think Anthony Hopkins lost his home. I heard Billy Crystal lost his home out there.
Yeah.
But what about Joe, who's just a normal dude and just lost his home?
Yeah, my aunt lives in California.
Why shouldn't we give the same attention to Joe? Is she okay, by the way, JT?
My aunt lives in Long Beach. She's not close to it, but she's at a two alert, which means be ready, but just be cautious.
So she's okay.
She's okay. And my cousin's out there too for school.
What about poor Joe, who lost everything? And, you know, that was his family's home. It's like, you know, why don't we pay attention to that we do to the celebrities who lost their homes?
Right.
Again, I can kind of get that argument too, but don't make fun of these poor people who lost their house. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Come on, people, do better. Do the frick better. So,
I agree.
What do you think is going to be playing at this benefit concert? If we were to plan, let's have a little fun here. If we were to plan the Los Angeles Wildfires benefit concert, who are we getting?
We're getting Randy Newman.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Seriously.
I love LA. Where he's going to play it.
Okay. I guess that's fair.
We're going to get Def Leppard. Because why not? We're going to get. Give me another one. Give me another LA-based artist. we'll get the Beach Boys. We're getting the Beach Boys. Done. We're done. There you go. Enough said.
All right. Justin, who are we getting?
Let's see here. LA-based. See, that's hard because a lot of the musicians I admire are more East Coast.
And we can get East Coast folk, too. I'm sure they'd love to help. Because I'm sure they have friends or they have homes in California.
Pink is going to be there. Pink will help out.
Bon Jovi is always the charitable sort.
Of course. Pink lives in Los Angeles. I think she'd help out. I think Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. Even though he's Seattle-based, he lives in L.A.
The Killers, because they're in.
Oh, how could we forget the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah, Californication.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Green Day, they're from Oakland, but still. So there you go.
Yes, they are.
There's your lineup. Someone get on that and credit us. We'll get 0.5% of the profits.
I'm just kidding.
It's
a charity event. All the money goes to charity.
We'll just do what they did in Superman 3. Take a fraction of a penny.
Exactly. And that's a lot of pennies.
of every dollar.
You know what, guys? We can put us on the committee for planning this concert if it happens.
Oh, God.
All right. Random guys who do a podcast.
It's going to be all over like the New York Times headlines. Random dudes propose a concert for the for Los Angeles wildfires. Hey, we did it. Good job, guys. So
this just in, the person behind Firefest is creating. No, I'm kidding.
What's that?
Remember Firefest?
No.
Oh boy. Oh. All right. Throwback.
Okay, so I think we're good, it. Okay? Yeah, I think we're good.
We're good. Give me one sec. We want to thank you for watching, listening, however you enjoy this. Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast tonight. It was kind of a brief show, kind of quiet, kind of quick. But we wanted to if you didn't watch us live, the link to donate to the Red Cross is still in the YouTube link, and it's also going to be on the podcast link there too. So if you're listening to us, you can tap the link and support the Red Cross out there for the wildfires out there in LA too. Please, please, please donate if you can. My aunt lives in Los Angeles, California. She lives in Long Beach. It's horrendous what's happening out there. So if you live across the planet or don't live in the U.S., please donate if you can. It would mean the world to me and all of us here in America. The horrible things that are happening with these California wildfires. Please donate if you can. Bill, you have a sports something.
Sports Insanity podcast. Check us out on all platforms. We got this week. We got the NFL divisional playoffs.
Yes, they do.
We got the college football national championship this Monday. Let's go, Irish!
Yes, let's go.
Beat Ohio State, please. Please beat Ohio State.
Word.
I hate Ohio State.
You don't say.
And not as much as I hate the University of Alabama. But anyway.
Anyways.
But anyway, yeah, please check us out. We're on all platforms. And www.sportsinsanitynetwork.com.
Perfect. And Justin's going to work on his exit music anyways, too, because he's doing such a great job over there. No, I'm just kidding. He's doing great. No, but all seriously, guys, thanks so much for watching and listening to our podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, as always. But for all of us here at the Subaru Show, stay safe.
Take care.
And
be awesome.